Welcome to Lasting Truth, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills, in Banning, California, where Pastor Ryan Hussein teaches the entire Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, giving our listeners the opportunity of receiving the full counsel of God. Here's Pastor Ryan.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And let's pray. And so, Father, we're so grateful this morning for your love, your grace, and your mercy. You are the one true living God. There is none like you. Lord, the other gods of men are fake. They're the imagination of their hearts. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have hands, but they do not handle. You are the one true living God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. You made the heavens and the earth. You created us and all the beauty in the world that we see, all the landscapes, Lord. And this morning we look to the hills from where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We're so grateful, Lord, that you never slumber, you never sleep. And in our weakness, Lord, your strength is perfected. Be with us, Lord. Speak to our hearts this morning through your word. May my words be your words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good to be with you guys this morning. We're going to do something a little different. If you're here for the first time, we're Calvary Chapel, and we're old school Calvary Chapel. That means we go through the Bible, both Old and New Testament. We don't play games here. We are Calvary Chapel, dove and all. Amen? But I just got back from Mexico, and I mean just got back. Got back at 4 this morning. Our mission trip to Manadero was a tremendous blessing for my wife and I and our kids and the whole group. There's about 50 of us that are there from our church, and it's a tremendous blessing. And so we're going to do something a little different. I brought you to Proverbs 19. If you look at verse 17, please, this morning. Proverbs 19, verse 17. It says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." I love that. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, that is God, will pay back what he has given. A mission trip, brothers and sisters, can change your life. A mission trip can change your life. It certainly did for me. Manadero is where our team is right now, which is about a half an hour south of Ensenada. It's not far from the water, from the ocean. It's, you know, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes away. It's a beautiful valley with super tall hills, almost mountains. I don't know the difference, but they're big. And because of all the rains, it's beautiful. And that the climate with the ocean there and the clouds, and there's so many fields where the agricultural fields where the Oaxacan Indians work those lands. They come from Oaxaca in Mexico, where they're basically, there's no work for them, so they come up to that area, Manadero, to work for a little bit more money, but they are poor, guys, so poor. We're talking homes in the dirt, plywood homes, hungry, just very poor. And I've been going to Manadero, Mexico for about 23 years, guys. I've been going there a long time, and I feel like I owe Manadero so much because the Lord has taught me so much through the mission trips there in Manadero. He has taught me so much about himself. He has given me so many blessings through these missions trip. So when I say that a mission trip can change your life, I really do mean it. It changed my life. There are a couple things that I learned from going on missions trips, and I was able to share with the churches there yesterday morning concerning what I'm sharing with you this morning. I learned the poverty of the Lord there. I learned the poverty of the Lord. As I said, the Oaxacan people are so poor, but yet they're so sweet. They're so kind, and there's a rare simplicity and contentment that I find amongst them. And they're very respectful and kind, and so there, in their poverty, I learn about the Lord and His poverty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you can write that down. I'm going to give you a lot of verses. I don't want to turn to all of them because there's too many. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." Our Lord, our Father, our God in heaven is more wealthy than anyone else who ever lived. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. If he were hungry, he would not let us know if he were hungry. He doesn't need our cows to be fed. He doesn't need our money. He is self-sufficient, wealthy beyond wealthy, King of kings and Lord of lords. Yet our King humbled himself, came in the form of a man, and he lived a life of not earthly riches, but of poverty. It says in Matthew 8:20, Jesus responded to those who declared, "I will be committed to you. I will follow you." And Jesus said, "Is that so? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He didn't even have a place to call his own. And so the Lord came to us in poverty so that we might be rich. And no matter where a person is on the scale of their finances, Christ can touch everyone on the scale, from the very poor to the very wealthy. And I remember going to the Oaxacan Indian camps for the first time 23 years ago with my pastor. And I saw the poverty, the outhouses for restrooms, the filthy conditions. I had not seen that kind of poverty in a long time. I'm half Mexican. My mom's Mexican. She was born in Tijuana. I have my great-grandmother. We call her Yaya in our culture. My Yaya was from Tijuana, and my grandmother had, you know, three other sisters or four. And so I'd been around Tijuana from a young age, and there's so much poverty there. For those of you who know, we're Californians. We've crossed the border. We've seen the, you know, unbearable conditions of some of the homes there. And so, but when I was with my pastor 23 years ago and I saw the Oaxacans, it was another level. I was reminded of the extreme poverty that exists in this fallen world. And he looked to me and he said to me, "Ryan, this is where Jesus would be." And I learned, ooh, he's right. Jesus noticed the poor widow with the two mites who gave out of her livelihood. She was poor. It's harder for her to give. She gave out of her whole substance of her life. Those who have money can probably, it's easier for them to give because they have more. To the Oaxacans, we are wealthy people, Americans coming, you know. And so You know, when you think about poverty here, even poor people in America have flat screen TVs and PlayStations, right? And so there's real poverty there. Here you give money to someone who you think is in need, and we're afraid that they're going to go take it and smoke it and do drugs with it. They're in Maniadero. They're poor because of the way the government of Mexico is run. They're not poor because they've made poor decisions. They're poor because that's just the way it is there. So when you give it to them, they're going to go get food or something for their children. And I was blessed at the outreach yesterday at the park. And I went to, they asked for a donation for the worship teams that were coming to do the music at the park, at the outreach we were doing. I said, sure. So I have my wallet's in my car. So I go out there and I have some small bills, some pesos, some whatever. Because I went prepared. I wanted to give money to some poor folks that the Lord would lead me to, divine appointments. And that 80-some-year-old short Oaxacan lady came walking by in the middle of the street, just her and I going opposites, coming towards each other. I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her, and I'm looking at her, and she says, ¿Tienes cinco pesos para algo de comer? Five, do you have 5 pesos so I can grab something to eat? And my great-grandmother was like that tall. She was Acora. No, Yaqui Indian from Nayarit. And her husband was more of a Spaniard, Mexican, with blue eyes and blonde hair. So I just saw like my great grandmother, you know. She used to call me Raite. Because there's no Ryans in the Mexican culture. It's an Irish name. That means little king. So she would call me Raite, which means ride, but just sounds like Ryan in Spanish. So I was able to bless her, you know, with a lot more than just 5 pesos in the name of our king. And so I learned the poverty of our Lord. And it's good to go and get reminded of it. It's good to go. We're told in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so the Lord says, be content. Don't covet. Life is more than food and drink and clothing and what relationships we got going on. We can be so self-centered. I speak to myself. So when I go down there, it's like, oh yeah, I'm reminded about our Lord's poverty. I'm reminded that there's more to life than what is going on in my life. I get to look outside of myself and look at the poverty of others and say, wow, Lord, I'm so thankful for all that you've provided for me. Help me to be your hands and feet and to love these folks. I'm blessed that we took our kids with us, and many of our kids went there so they can see the poverty of the Oaxacan Indians. They helped out in the handing out of the clothing, the handing out of the toys, and they were dealing with a line of like 50 to 100 people, and our people did so well. Our brothers and sisters down there handling business. The sisters rolled out all the clothing that you guys donated and all of the toys. And it was just beautiful to see in the name of Jesus putting smiles on people's faces and learning poverty, learning gratitude, learning to be content again, and to bring that home to our family, our church family, to one another. To remember what Paul the Apostle told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. He said, now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's nothing wrong with money. Money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not all evil. Money that was handed to the poor people in Mañanera was money used for good. But it can be used against a Christian when I'm too busy with my career to serve in the church. I'm too busy with my hobbies and my schedules and my life to get involved. I get an excuse. No, when we go there, we see the poverty. We see the reminder that we are to care, that we are to help, that we are not to live for ourselves. When Paul sent Titus to Jerusalem with the money from the Corinthians and the other churches in Macedonia to relieve the poor saints in Jerusalem that had gotten broke, he was taking care of two problems. One was the relationship between the Jewish brothers and the Gentile brothers. For in their old lives, the Jewish brothers would have nothing to do with Gentiles. They looked down on them. But now in Christ, we're all one. There's no difference. And so let's take care of two birds with one stone. Did I tell you about the border experience last night? I got home at 4 a.m. from Mexico. We try to leave on time, but as we were cleaning up our room and Clarissa was just serving and cleaning up the restroom and getting the kids ready and so that we can leave, because once we left, someone's going to take our bed and our shower. One of the Sweet Hills family, they're going to take that one. It's way up on the top with the killer ocean view. So Clarissa made sure it was nice and clean. And so we didn't make it before the crowds. And guys, we didn't cross the border till 1 a.m, I think. We got home at 4. So yeah, kill two birds with one stone or fish, you know. You know what I mean. But I learned God's poverty. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who declare, Lord, we're weak, but you are strong. And he says to those who are blessed with money, he says, do good with it. Do good with it. Do good with it. And so the first thing that I can think of that Mañanero has taught me is the poverty of the Lord. The second thing is that it taught me the servanthood of the Lord. The servanthood of the Lord. For many years, 23 years, we've been going down, and I've learned from my pastor and other wonderful saints and the saints here in our church who have gone with us what servanthood looks like, what it means to serve the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. It's a mission, no doubt. It's a mission, not just because we're taking the gospel down there. It's a mission because it's a 3.5-hour drive if there's no traffic, but there usually always is. So give or take, it's about 4.5 hours to get down there. At a taco stop, you're looking at 5.5 hours. With a group that size, 50 people, have you ever see a taco guy try to make 50? You know what I mean? How many do you want and what kind do you want? It's more like 2, you know, and next you know, a 3.5-hour trip is a 7-hour. You're there. You're exhausted. But the drive down there, God sees it all. He sees it all. It's nice. It's beautiful. We're together. It's fellowship. We're pumped up, but still, it is a long mission to get down to the mission trip. And then we get there and, you know, we settle in and we go down to the ranch and they're having service there. And you're immediately engulfed in the Mexican Christian culture, alabanzas, worship in Spanish. It's off. It's on. It's on. It's like happening. Bomb. Woo. Yeah, we know what's going on here. Jesus is being glorified in this place, Mexican style. And, you know, we're getting to know our brothers and sisters there. We fellowship. And then the next day when we get together and go to the outreach, there's so much setting up. All you see are people, brothers and sisters, carrying items from the vehicles to the park, setting up bicycle ministries. Our guys were there setting that up and fixing the most incredibly incredible old and beat up bikes you've ever seen in your life. They look like they've been pulled out of antiquity. So old, full of rust. One tire, no tires, chain, no chain, no handlebars. And the people are coming in droves because they want them repaired. And I was talking to our guys who were working on the bikes. See that bike? That was you and me. That's our life right there before Christ. And now they're putting on shiny wheels and repairing them. And that's what God does to the soul, to you and I. We put our faith in them. We come just so messed up. And so the guys are working so hard and I'm learning servanthood by the way they're running around like crazy. And they have skill and they're working together under the beauty of that valley with the hills and the blue skies and the clouds. And you have the worship team playing, and then you have our sisters with the giving out of the clothes and a line, the length of this sanctuary and the smiles on the kids' faces. And they're getting toys and we're handing out food, and there's just so much attention to them. And the gospel is being preached multiple times throughout the day. Just beautiful servanthood. And I remember years at one outreach, something my pastor said to me. At the end of one of the outreaches, he said, I am spent for the Lord, Ryan. And that's all I wanted to come and be able to say, that I am spent. I mean, tired. And we have folks of all ages and all colors in the body of Christ. John Schwab, dear John the Baptist, I call him. He's a fiery preacher. When he comes here, he takes off his shoes and he walks on the stage in his socks. And a tie. He just preaches fire. Love him. He's looking at his health issues, prostate, cancer. I'm hearing looks a little weaker, a little older. He's carrying a box and it said Schwab on it, a bunch of t-shirts that they give out to the poor. Christian t-shirts, you know, and he did good in life. He's one of those who does good with his money. He's got a lot of it and he does. Spends it all on poor people. And I saw him carrying it, and I tried to grab it. Get away from me! I got it. All right. Handling, just of all walks, we see our sisters with their babies, little infants, serving still. Like the Oaxacan ladies who have their babies in that Indian wrap. They're just, where's all the fear? Where's all the doubt? We're just in sunny Mexico, feeding the local cops right there. No one's doing nothing but sharing the love of Christ. I learned serving.
Thank you for joining us today at Lasting Truth Radio. If you're in the area, come out and join us for Sunday services at 8:30 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We are located at 3035 West Nicollet Street in Banning, California. You can also find us on YouTube or Instagram. If you would like to donate to our program, please do so on our website at ccsweethills.org and hit the online giving tab. We hope you will continue to tune in as we journey through the entire Word of God with the teaching of Pastor Ryan Hussein at Calvary Chapel, Sweet Hills. We adore.